forever. Dog.
The goody goody.
Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody.
We sound very similar.
Do we sound similar?
Well, when I heard that, I thought
you seem like you could play me and I could play you.
I think so.
Ooh, we should play each other in each other's biopics.
Okay.
We should just go to studios and sell two biopics.
They're like, we don't know either
of you. For the price of one.
They're like, this doesn't work for either of you.
Just starting with a bargain is never the way it goes in Hollywood. Like, that's truly like my immigrant parents.
Me too.
Canada vibe. I've had to like truly eliminate that because that's truly like my parents' version of Hollywood is like
offer them two for the price of one.
Yeah, and it's like no.
Yeah. Oh God. That's yeah.
How you've moved here?
I'm so bad at negotiating. That's the same thing. It's like I'm like. Well, let's do less. Whatever you want.
The podcast started. We were talking about how like the mentality of a stand up is like you're just so grateful.
Yeah, we are used to like paying to do spots.
Paying to do spots, drink tickets for spots, and then you get a part and you're like, I'm getting what for what?
Yeah, anytime my reps like show me a contract, you know how you like, which I hate, you like see a contract before you book it. It's like, don't do that.
Okay, so literally this is what happens in our business.
This is wild.
You never get asked to dance. You're at the dance forever. You're seeing all of the cool people dancing.
Yes.
You're like, one day I will get asked to dance. Then you get reps. And it's like, ooh, I'm going to get asked to dance. Then you get to test for a part, which means that you're like narrowed down to be potentially, you are Renee Zellweger.
Yes. Yes.
I love that being.
That's her.
So you're close to being Renee and they have to go through every detail of the contract down to like what your trailer looks like. Who's fucking sucking?
It's literally
your dick
like
at
you're starving, and before you eat, they show like they make you smell all the food.
Yeah,
they're like, "Cure it all. Don't taste any of it yet." But this does this look good to you?
And then you're negotiating over like the type of shrimp, and it's like, "I want anything,
yes,
any food." And they're like, "But no, we're gonna hold out till they give like big prawns."
We're like, "We don't even need prawns. I'm good with imitation crab meat.
Yeah,
whatever it is.
Literally, put a piece of old toast in my mouth.
Fine by me." Yeah, they show you these numbers like
it's
you're gonna
so
contest
weird.
It. It's like, yeah, I'm.
And then sometimes you don't even get to audition for the thing because it's like, no, we're posturing. Like, literally, the part, the sitcom.
Yes,
I didn't show up to the test.
Stop, because of like a
because of the negotiations.
Are you? And that's and then it's like and then Hollywood's like. We gotta have her. That's so fucked.
Yeah. Well, that was like the power of no. That was like a real big lesson about that because I had canceled going to my friend's wedding, then got because they were like the test is on the same day, so I'm not going to my friend's wedding. Then my whole team calls me like 11 p.m. the night before, being like, "Look, this is just like not. We need to make the deal more fair for you." It had to do with like. Development because I'm a writer and an actor, so it was like they needed to free me up or get a deal, and they ended up getting a deal, like a writing deal. But it was like, and it was the best. It was like the best thing to do. But saying no was like, wait, I want to be at the buffet. Like they're almost gonna let me eat from the buffet.
Yes. Oh, I have my bib on.
Yes.
Oh my God. That's ballsy.
But it really is. But it's ballsy. But really, like when you think about it from the other side, it's like, oh, yeah, no, of course. If they want you, then they want you.
That's
it's
it.
Like, you know,
that's it.
You're putting together the team. And if they decide that like you're that person, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Everybody say no forever. And honestly,
wow.
If you keep saying no and they don't say give it, give it, give it, give it, then they didn't even want it.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And that's how you live forever.
Do you have
dog.
A lesson of no or a lesson at all?
Yeah.
Like, what are you feeling these
days?
Well,
I just did a similar thing where I basically got asked to do something for a certain rate. And I was just like, no, I'm not going to do that for that. Like, it's not. And then I asked for a rate that was different. And I got that rate. And now
that's
like,
great.
3 years ago, I would have just said yes because I would have wanted the opportunity. But then once you get to a place where you're like, no, I really know what my value. It's like a hard thing because we're used to our value being like nothing, so we'll do anything.
Yeah, so it's kind of like this fake thing. I'm gonna compare it to something that maybe won't make sense, but like, you know, when you were pretending to be sick when you were little and
yes.
you like didn't know whether you were sick or not.
Yes.
Like, I think that's what like knowing your rate is a little bit. It's like, but like sick, you
yes.
know, it's
yes.
like it, cause it is a moving target. Cause for certain different things you'll do, you know, like I'm
right.
gonna I'm going to pay to go fly to San Francisco to do this charity thing because that's what it's worth to me. But I certainly will not move my toes for like a corporate.
Right. Yeah. And then you feel good because like then you're going to make better work when you don't feel like you're taken advantage of. And then you're like, oh, great. I got what I think I'm worth. Now I can like actually go forward and do a good job. Whereas if I was the whole time like an old me would have said yes and then fucking resented them the whole time.
Yeah.
Doing it.
I remember when I was young, I started doing stand up when I was 16.
How old were you? I was older. I went to college and then like after college, like a year out.
So you were old lady.
Yes.
In your 20s.
Yes. I was. Yeah. Ripe 22.
I was like a psycho little teen doing stand up, and I remember doing a show early on, and it was in Canada. I grew up in Toronto, and the co-host of this show, we were both getting paid like really lousy, but I remember he was like famous and resented it the whole time and was mean to everyone and kind of like snarky at the event. And I remember being just like having this really like, you know, those deep visceral kind of like learn this moments where it's like, okay, well, when you agree to do something, then you've agreed to do
that's
it. And
it.
Just like, it's such a, it's like a triple double 100 loss.
Yes. Totally.
To show up and be angry. And
yeah, God, it's a really tough thing to learn in life. I'm bad at that in everything, not just even in career, but it's like, yeah, I've had to learn how to like, you can say no. It's better to
standing up for yourself.
Yeah. Now I got a question. Are these cans working? Cause I mostly feel like,
are they not working?
I can hear less.
Oh, take them off. Take them off. Yeah. I just wanted you to be able to hear the,
those things.
Yeah. I wanted you to hear the sound effects, but honestly,
but at the cost of hearing
at the cost of a natural flowing conversation, that was you negotiating for yourself.
That's right.
And
wow.
Do you want to take the handcuffs off?
Yeah. No, it's fine. Please.
And the mermaid tail.
No, I'll keep it on. It's not a problem. Your dog's
but then
biting
the binding,
my feet. I
the
like
thing
it.
That Kate Winslet is wearing in Titanic that just where the when I had my mom come in and tighten that.
Oh yeah.
It's called a corset.
Yes. And I
you
thought
want that
and
on.
I said, is this even on camera? What is this for? And you said, well, just don't worry about
and
it.
And you don't mind that my dad is biting your earlobe?
That I love.
But that is like a moment like saying like, I don't want these on my ears.
Yes.
Alyssa just took off her cans because it look, they're good for the sound effects, but maybe you guys will be the ones that hear the sound effects.
Here we go.
This one goes, that's some deep shit.
Oh, that's the real
I gotta figure out a better
shit.
Can situation.
No, I don't mind. I kind of like no cans.
No
especially
cans.
In your house like this. This is just kind of the
like,
two, we're just two gals
here.
Gabbing.
Yeah.
And we're just gabbing
okay,
away.
Okay, so the gossip is know your worth.
Yeah.
But the negotiation between being like, yes, happy to be here, and knowing your worth is a balance.
It's hard. I grew up in a family where
cowboy is fully
absolutely.
I mean, this is a trademark of the podcast. If cowboy's licking your foot, it's going to be a great episode.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, he is going to town. What do you think's on my like? What's on
cowboy
there?
Again? Is my father's name. What's on there? Just some
dirt?
Salts from the day.
Salt.
You got some West
Sweat.
Hollywood, probably soot.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's like, this lady's been in the big city.
Yeah, he can really tell. Yeah, I'm. It's a real new thing since coming to LA that I've really worked on is like just knowing what I want and doing it. Because you can't if you don't know what you want, then you can't ask for it. And so for a while, I just didn't know what I ever wanted. So that's hard.
Yeah, and
then,
now you're starting to like shape that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't you think New York's a hard place to do that? Because you're kind of just at the whim of like,
oh my God,
the city and the...
Yeah, and New York was also like the only place that would put you on TV was one place, which was Comedy Central. So it was like, I hope this one place, like it was just like this myopic view
yes.
of what your possibilities were.
Yes.
And not that that's all it was. That would be myopic.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank
they're
you.
Here, they're, thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Ooh,
that's the real deep shit.
If you guys think that the sound effects are ruining the flow of the pod, please,
you're right, and we're gonna keep doing it.
Yeah, New York was like, just New York is a place to like just build your character. It's like going to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, yeah, it's just hard. It's hard. That's part of being an adult too, I think. Being a kid, you just kind of do what your family says, and then it's just a hard, and then.
Were you good girl?
Yeah, and very close family, very like, just kind of never like really.
Stray from straight. What mommy and daddy wanted.
Exactly.
For Alyssa.
Exactly. So that's been a long road.
Yeah.
Away from that.
Yeah, because it's a good thing. I think it's a good, healthy thing. I have little baby Wolfie, 2 years old, and I like want to instill in him that I think the confusion when it comes to discipline is always like, well, I don't want to be abusive, but it's like, it's not abusive. It's really just like lording the idea of earn my respect and be a good person.
Totally.
And when you're not a good person, I will be disappointed, and that should affect you emotionally. Yes. And that'll be the thing versus like a spanking that really matters.
Totally. Yeah.
And it's like a good thing to raise kids that way. And certainly my father's Pakistani. And so like that culture, and my mom, like, you know, they really did instill that vibe in me.
Yeah.
But actually, so Sean and I just did couples therapy right before we are recording this podcast. And one of our recent arguments that we were like rehashing in couples therapy, I thought that I was going to go to couples therapy and the therapist was going to be like, Shauna, you better apologize to the maximum. And then there I was.
You were going
to
sit on the couch on the side with the therapist
being like, look at what she's done. And then the flip of it was that I was like, I'm sorry that I didn't just ask for some time for myself.
That's it.
You know, like I reacted
because
I was under my own stress, and I say yes to everything because I am people pleasy. Yes. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Come talk to me about your receipts. And then I like immediately, when it was taking too long, just, you know,
went off. That's it. That's been my big thing, is like same thing. Thinking like, oh, it's everyone, like realizing that, you know, codependency or whatever, it's like, it goes both ways. Like, it's your job to stand up for yourself and say like, no, I don't want this to happen. And that's a hard thing to do when you're a people pleaser, when you're a comedian, when you want, you know.
Yeah, and you think that you've got broad shoulders.
Yeah.
And you could just pile more things on them.
Exactly. Yeah.
And just because you can doesn't mean you should.
I know. And then you crash, and then, it's a vicious cycle.
We're the same person. We're the biopic,
baby. Oh, my God.
Wow. You know what? If you want both of them, it's going to cost you 5 times as
much.
That's
it. You can get one of us. Yeah.
And you know what? We'll work 3 hours a day.
And we choose the hours the morning of.
Uh-huh. And it's got to film within a 1 mile radius of each of our houses.
And that's impossible because we live 5 miles apart.
And we'll be smoking cigars the whole time.
And guess what? We don't even smoke cigars.
We don't smoke them, but you got to CGI them out. Okay? I dare you to buy this double biopic. Bitch.
Yeah.
You were popular in high school?
I don't know.
Like the junior mayor?
Yeah, like, I just kind of had a lot of friends popular? Sort of had a lot of friends in different groups.
What are you, smoking? Yeah. I know you guys.
Exactly.
What are you, on drugs? I know you guys. Hey, mathletes.
Totally.
Let me see your page at the test.
That's it. X equals Y plus Z. Yeah, whatever.
And when did you know that comedy was good?
Well, I was a real like athlete in high school. I was like a big track person, and I always liked it, and I liked things, but I was really depressed, and like I didn't know why or what or even that I was. And then I went to college, was running track, didn't like it, and then found improv. And then I just remember the feeling of like, oh, this is finally like where it feels okay, where I don't feel like different or like, well, yeah, off or.
So improv was your way in.
That was my way in. And I did.
Do you identify as improv first, stand up?
Definitely.
Second.
Yep. I did improv and sketch all through college. And then I started improv in the city. And then I just started stand up after that to get a little control. So I remember just being like, I've done improv now for 5 years. What's this going to do?
The part of it for me, because I did improv and stand up kind of simultaneously as well. But I was like, I don't want to have to pay a coach.
Right.
And like collaborate with these people.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also really didn't like the feeling of, which is, yeah. I didn't like the feeling of like, oh, if I fuck up, I'm fucking all with these people up. And then I would go home and be like, why did I say that stupid fucking thing?
The interesting thing about track is like, that's your sport.
That's it.
And you don't have to. It's like for me,
How are you reaching that high?
Hey,
buddy.
I thought you were talking about me conversationally. No, I was like, I just do. he's now pushing it.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Track is very... on your own.
Yeah, because with tennis, I'd never liked playing doubles. Exactly. Because I don't want to have to worry about the moves that I make affecting someone else and vice versa.
And that's, but But now I feel it's not like that. I shouldn't have felt that way. Like, you know, it's.
Now you feel more collaborative about it?
Yes. I think now it's like, that's a, it's not real. It's like me just focusing on, you know.
Well, it's definitely that's not the real, that's like a distraction ego thing in your mind chatter.
Exactly.
Do you meditate?
No. I should. I try.
What's making you feel better in your mind?
Nothing.
Are you feeling?
I don't feel well a lot of the time, but I do therapy. Really? Yeah, but I do therapy, which I always feel better after therapy.
Is your therapist in New York?
Yeah. FaceTime? I just stayed with her FaceTime.
Yeah
I didn't want to switch.
Why not?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And FaceTime's kind of nice because you don't have to leave.
No.
Yeah. No, what makes me feel better? I mean, LA's made me feel so much better. The like time and space to myself here. New York, I just like ran from stuff all the time, I felt. Mm-hmm. Here, you really have to sit with stuff. And then you sit with it and then it passes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've had a weird, just like it's been a weird journey to like...
Well,
yeah.
I was reading right before this, I read a Forbes article about you.
Yeah.
Wild, cool magazine to be in.
Well, they do a lot of comedy stuff, which is so weird because it's like none of us make money. Yeah. It's a weird. None of us are making money, but it's cool.
But you're making funny.
Okay. Hit something
Come on.
Hollywood Scoop.
So someone from Forbes said we want to cover you, or how did that happen?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they just reached out.
But that's how I learned that your dad passed away, and that's how you ended up making videos at your home.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Basically, you know, I was doing stand up, and then my dad got sick, and I moved home to be with him for a year. And while he died, and
I'm so sorry.
Ugh, thanks. Yeah.
When did he pass away?
4 years ago.
Garbage.
Yeah, so it's a weird, grief is so fucking weird, but I think I'm in a real weird phase right now where, you know, you're traumatized. It's like he didn't go to a hospital, we like took care of him, you know. We didn't have nurses or anything, so it's like it was, you know,
he chose not to go to a hospital because he was like, this is gonna happen and I don't want to be eating bad food. And
it's a weird thing, it's brain cancer, so he wasn't quite with it.
Okay.
There's no timeline, so it would have been too much time in the hospital. And then by the time, you know, it's like by the time, like, you know, one morning he was in bed, I picked him up and then he like, you know, seized, and then that was it. And so it was like, it just happened. And then it would have been too hard to at that point move him to the hospital. Uh-huh. So we just, you know, stayed with him there. But it was so much and so dark. And my dad was my best friend. And it was so...
You don't wake up any day and have a break from how heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, it just changed my whole life. It really was like a lot of me died then. And then a lot of me like started over then. So I, at that point, was just like, I couldn't do live comedy. It was just too dark. So my mom was then really, you know, in a tough place. And so I was spending a lot of time with her. And then my mom's just wild. And I started, you know, it was like my dad and I used to, you know, kind of rib on her together. And
It was kind of like you rising from those ashes
a little bit. And it was really cool. I remember when the first one, you know, did really well, I just laughed and I was like, you know, talking to my dad a little, being like, can you believe it? It's like, it's like us ribbing mom is like
our bit.
Our bit is kind of, moving me forward, which is like the really
where
cool part.
Where were
you
when you saw that the like needle had moved, or when you were like, oh, this is.
It happened like in New York, like maybe like the fourth one I posted, and then it just did really well. And then from that kind of like, I got reps, and then I was like moving to LA. So that it would, you know, that all happened.
It's so crazy. The things like the way I've like talked to everybody on this podcast pretty much about like how the flow of things happen. 'Cause you're in New York and you're watching people succeed.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, well, that's the way I'll do it. And I had this also this perception of like, oh, well, we'll all lift each other up. And like when my friend gets a show, I'll write on that show. And it's like, it's so not linear or predictable. It's so got like this other magic of like, you had to go go through this other thing.
100%.
And then the door opened.
100%. Yeah. And there's, you kind of just have to do, like, I really think, you have to do whatever is real to you. And then that's what's the most real to you is what is going to help you along. And then, so you can't like look at someone else's because what's really real to them might not be real to you. You know, it's like,
Everyone has their own superpower.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And then everyone has their own superpower with their own relatives being like, so SNL's coming up, right? The big SNL.
Yeah. Like, I think we could be 100 and people still be commenting like, I can't wait to see you on SNL someday.
You could fully have your own production company with like multiple movies 100%. Out and be like, well, has Lauren called?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Is your, when as you like kind of figure out what it is that you love and works for you, is it like, are you starting to think about your show? Do you think of yours, would you ever go into a writer's room for someone else's show? What are you like, these are some things that I'd like to do.
I really am. I feel like when I started, you were maybe like this too. It was just like, say yes to everything all the time. Like I kind of was like, I want to do everything. And then once I moved here, I was very much, once my dad died, honestly, I was like, I want to act. I've always wanted to act. I've just been afraid to say it. And then it's like, that's all I want to do really. So I'll write if it's my own thing. But I, to the point of like that guy being mad at that show when you were 18, I'd be bitter if I were in a writer's room. I wouldn't be my best self. It wouldn't, because it wouldn't be what I really wanted to be doing. And so I've been choosing to, not like go that route and just keep pursuing writing acting and writing for myself.
Do you have like with your videos, do you have sort of like a way that you're like, this is, I'm gonna have content, I'm gonna, is there a system, or it's similar to stand-up where it's like jokes come, video ideas come,
and that's kind of it, systemless.
Cool.
Because it's like I really, because I don't have anyone who needs something from me, I'm like, then I'm going to take advantage of this and just do it when inspiration strikes or when something comes. Yeah. Because I worked for a company for a while.
How's your mom feel about her?
Well, I'm so glad I'm honest.
When I started doing stand-up, I was doing like a lot of impressions of my dad, and and what are your parents?
My mom loves it. You know, she makes them with me, so it's like a nice thing. She films them and stuff.
That's so funny.
I know. So she's like, she's very into it. She likes being involved. And
Is your parent, like growing up, what did your dad do? What did your mom do?
Mom's a teacher. She still is.
Okay.
And my dad was a sheet metal salesman.
What's that?
I know.
Sheet metal.
So like this, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah, you got some metal. I'll sell it.
Yeah, I still,
you need some metal. Like, well, I got a good rate.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So he would like be on the road, cold calling and selling and stuff.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And you grew up where?
Massachusetts.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have siblings?
I have a brother.
Older?
He's older.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah. Older brother. Hello,
Samir. Biopic.
Hello, Samir.
What does your brother do?
He's a sheet metal salesman. I had to like rehearse it in my mind so many times. Sheet metal salesman. My brother is kind of a sheet metal salesman. He's like he is a business dude that like first went into like working for Boston Consulting, like a big like
BCG.
Big companies, and then was like, no, thank you, and moved to Korea, taught English, came back. That was like his reframing. Yep. He was like coming back and being like, I can't work with these people that I like, I can see my future, and it's like having a lot of boats and never seeing my kids.
Yeah.
So he, in his reapproach, opened like a lifestyle store with my uncle that's doing really good. It's called Good Neighbor in Toronto. They're opening up a second location. And then he also, his friend that he met in Korea needed a gig when he came back to Canada, and my parents were building a house, and connected him with like a radiant heating floor dude. So that guy learned how to do that. My brother was like, I'll buy the equipment. We'll open our own business. So now it's called Radiant Soul. if you're in the Toronto area, they're the number one radiant heating company. And he's just like, he's a business dude.
He's an innovator.
He sees the demand and he's like, I'll be the supply.
Wow. How cool is that?
Yeah. What does your brother do?
Well, similarly, he worked for a big company right away, started teaching.
Oh, we're the same.
Yep. Yeah. Started teaching, was like, no, I want to teach, and really loved teaching. And then eventually he was like a coder and a developer. And so he missed that. And then he now is a coder for Instagram. Or he's like,
whoa,
a manager on Instagram. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Can he help us do things?
No, not at all. You know,
he doesn't have an account.
He started the job with a flip phone.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He was like, when people had smartphones.
Is he hot, cool, married, kids?
All but kids.
All but kids.
Yeah.
My brother is all but married and kids. So if you're in the Toronto area,
we got hot and cool. Those are good ones.
That's right.
And an entrepreneur. Yeah. So yeah, he moved home with us too during the year. We were just talking about how like cool it was to spend time together as adults because we don't see each other that much.
Yeah, that's super unique to be like all at the home.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's it. So you're building a house.
Building a house back there. Going to put my parents in there.
So how often do they come?
They come, I'd say like a few times a year, but I bet when that back house is built, they'll come for a little bit longer and then they can just like make their tea in there,
totally.
Make their breakfast in there.
Watch
put Wolfie
in there.
They can raise Wolfie in there. Bring him back when he's got a job.
Is it nice? Is that like a nice? I have to imagine it adds. Like this holiday season, I was like, we need some kids around here.
Yeah,
like, I
feel the like, kids. Well, the kids like reinvigorate the purpose for
yes.
the adults because, like, as you become retired,
yeah.
and you know, you just like lean into your repetition of your. You know, my parents like. Go to the YMCA every day.
Yes.
They make the same breakfast every day.
Yes.
Then they, it's just like, it's the cycle.
I feel
like
I'm retired.
It breaks up the cycle.
I feel like I'm a real, I don't switch up
my routine.
What is
your day?
I just, you know, with our career, it's obviously like at the mercy of, you know, auditions or whatever. So
yeah.
I don't quite know what my day to day is, but like, I like, you know, eating the same thing.
What is your, what are your same things?
Well, now this is a whole nother. I don't eat well.
I feel okay.
I'm not a good, yes, yes,
yeah.
yes.
What do you eat?
Well, I'm, you know, I'm like, I had an eating disorder for a while. So I'm
you did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was anorexic for a while. And
how
so
long?
Well, that's the funny thing with anorexia. You know, it's like I was like deeply anorexic for like probably 6 months or something. Like,
was that around your dad trauma or before?
No, this was like in college.
Okay.
Yeah, college was not great. I was like super depressed and I was super anorexic. And
damn.
Huh?
I said damn.
Oh, damn. I thought you said to him.
No.
Yeah.
To him.
To him.
Glory of God.
To him. Sort of like,
yeah,
maybe
Sabrina,
I was like cursing
was
the house.
Chill to get to know her. Do you know she just barks to him every few?
To him.
To him. Oh, God.
Forever. Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.